Good evening. This is the KRFP Evening Report for Wednesday, July 31st, 2013. I'm Lee Robartis in the news tonight. Columbia Riverkeeper sues U.S. Army Corps over chronic oil leaks at Columbia River dams. Corps may fine Port of Lewiston over river fill at Port Dock Project. And an update on the U.S. Highway 95 realignment south of Moscow. We'll have details on those stories and more coming up on the KRFP Evening Report. And live in the KRFP studios in Moscow, Idaho, I'm Lee Robartis, and this is the KRFP Evening Report. The Washington Department of Ecology and U.S. Army Corps of Engineers announced today they will do a joint study of the impacts of the proposed increase in Powder River Basin coal traffic on Puget Sound and communities along the train route from eastern Montana and northern Wyoming to the west coast. Those communities include Spokane. Originally, the study was only to look at Puget Sound. Communities like Spokane and Sandpoint, Idaho, expect to see big increases in coal train traffic if the new coal export terminal opens at Cherry Point, north of Bellingham. The communities will likely have between 8 and 28 mile-long trains passing through them per day if the Cherry Point terminal opens, and as many as 60 more trains per day if all the proposed new coal export facilities proposed for the Northwest open. The coal is heading to Asia to be burned in the atmosphere, impacting climate. The announcement said the study will require an assessment of how the project would affect human health in Washington. A group called Direct Action is claiming responsibility for the release of 4,800 mink from a mink farm in Burley over the weekend. Cassia County Undersheriff George Worrell said someone cut chicken wire fencing in eight places and opened cages to allow the escapes. Worrell said about 90% of the mink were recaptured, but there is now no way to reconnect individual mink with their breeding histories because they don't know which mink belongs in which cage. Direct Action said they chose the Burley Farm because it's owned by Fur Commission USA board member Cindy Moyle. Columbia Riverkeeper filed a lawsuit today in federal courts in Washington and Oregon saying the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers is releasing oil into the river at several of its dams in violation of the Clean Water Act. The lawsuit says the pollution has been coming from Bonneville, The Dalles, John Day, and Ice Harbor Dam operations for the last 7 years. The lawsuit says some of the releases were due to spills while others are chronic leaks. The lawsuit is seeking injunctions to stop the pollution. Columbia Riverkeeper Executive Director Brett Vandenhoevel released a statement saying the Corps released the oil without a permit and therefore failed to, quote, monitor and report pollution in a manner that enables the public to fully understand the extent and severity of the problem. The U.S. Army Corps of Engineers is considering whether to fine the Port of Lewiston for not adhering to the terms of a permit for its dock expansion project. According to the agency, 600 cubic yards of fill material were discharged into the Clearwater River in June prior to the July 1st date specified by the permit. Port manager David Doringsfeld told the Lewiston Tribune the fill material was moved starting around June 19th, when crews were installing a crane pad for the dock expansion. Doringsfeld said it was important everything was ready to go by July 1st because the Army Corps of Engineers limits work in the river to between July 1st and September 30th. He said, I think it was just an oversight that the material was entering the river. Corps spokesperson Gina Baltrush at the agency's Walla Walla office said the period of time was chosen because the work would be least harmful to salmon and steelhead runs protected under the Endangered Species Act. The 600 cubic yards represents 25% of the amount of fill the port would be allowed to spill into the river during the dock construction. The fine could be as high as $32,500. The $2.9 million project would expand the length of the dock from 125 feet to 275 feet. Paradise Ridge Defense Coalition board member Mary Ulrich of Moscow gave an update on decision-making progress by the Idaho Transportation Department on the planned route for U.S. Highway 95 for the 6 miles immediately south of Moscow. She spoke on KRFP's Climate Justice Forum show Monday night. The ITD is planning to expand U.S. Highway 95 to 4 lanes for the 6 mile stretch and says it will soon choose a route. Their preferred route is the eastern alignment over the western flank of Paradise Ridge. They have also proposed possible routes closely following the current alignment of the 2-lane U.S. Highway 95 or a western route closer to the Washington state line. Ulrich said she spoke to ITD project manager Ken Helm.
He said that they are continuing to review the comments that people sent in, that at this point they are 60 to 70% done and expect to be completely done by August 27th. Now they have sent 30, as Ken described it, of the easy ones to the headquarters in Boise, and he did assure me that he was going to be dealing with all of them, which meant the more complex ones that perhaps some of you listening may have sent in. He said that the responses he had farmed out to the various consultants and experts, and that apparently he has those all back as of last week. And then he was describing what's next. And after all the comments have been responded to, there is what is called a legal sufficiency review on the responses. Now, this happens in Boise with HWA.
And that was Paradise Ridge Defense Coalition board member Mary Ulrich speaking on the Climate Justice Forum radio show Monday night on KRFP. The Moscow School Board is holding a meeting at this hour in which they will likely make a decision on authorizing the use of money from the $10.8 million bond approved by voters in May for facility upgrades throughout the school district. The meeting was scheduled to start at 5:30 p.m. in the district office boardroom. The district has 36 months to spend at least 85% of the $10.8 million once the sale is approved. Last month, the board approved allowing the district to begin bond-related projects and to be reimbursed through proceeds from the board. Washington State University plans to consolidate 2 current medical programs into 1 offered on the Spokane campus. Next year, 22nd-year students in the WAMI Regional Medical Education Program will move from the Pullman campus to the campus in Spokane. WAMI, spelled W-W-A-M-I, refers to a regional partnership among the University of Washington Medical School and the universities in the states of Washington, Wyoming, Alaska, Montana, and Idaho, designed to provide publicly supported medical education. WSU Spokane WAMI Program Director Ken Roberts said the program here continues to expand and it just makes sense to deliver it all in one place. The move also fits into the long-range plans of the University of Idaho, which says it will increase the number of students with ties to Idaho. The move of Pullman students to Spokane will occur in the fall of 2014. It will bring the total number of WAMI students in Spokane to 40. Roberts said WSU Spokane has the facilities and faculty to accommodate the move. The Spokane campus offers larger classrooms, and WSU is in the process of hiring 5 additional faculty members to accommodate the expected growth in the program. Pullman City staff reported at last night's city council meeting that the city's general fund showed a savings of nearly $69,000 across departments, as well as more than $294,000 in unexpected revenue. City Finance Director Bill Mulholland said, based on projections from previous years and what figures we've seen so far this year, we expect to end the year with about $360,000 more than we were expecting when we originally crafted the budget. Mulholland said the savings, quote, speak to good leadership and good management. The 4 largest city departments all spent less than projected. Police, fire, emergency medical services, and the library account for more than $11 million of the city's $16.6 million general fund budget. Some of the savings are the result of a number of unfilled positions remaining vacant. City Supervisor Mark Workman noted there were more building permits issued this year, which also played a role in the positive budget numbers. Building permit revenues and plan check fees were budgeted at $355,000 for all of 2013, but more than $465,000 has been collected as of July 9th. Mulholland cautioned against getting too excited about the budget revenue. Pullman has already spent $80,000 in legal fees for 2 lawsuits against the city, and Mulholland believes those costs could rise significantly. One lawsuit is from a convict who claims the city planned to provide him with a public records request, but it did not happen. In the other case, Singular is suing the city and others over utility taxes. Also at last night's meeting, the Pullman City Council pre-authorized acceptance of a $136,000 grant from the Federal Aviation Administration for the Pullman-Moscow Regional Airport. The grant will fund repairs to the heating and air conditioning systems at the airport. Well, that's it for the KRFP evening report for tonight. Taking a look at the weather from the National Weather Service, there is a 30% chance of showers and thunderstorms tonight, mainly after midnight, otherwise mostly cloudy with a low around 56. Tomorrow, a 60% chance of showers and thunderstorms, mainly in the afternoon, partly sunny, high 81. On Thursday night, 70% chance of showers and thunderstorms before midnight, then showers likely, possibly thunderstorms after midnight, cloudy, low 55. There is a 60% chance of showers and possibly a thunderstorm on Friday, mostly cloudy otherwise, high 75, 40% chance of showers Friday night, mostly cloudy, low 48, and a 30% chance of showers on Saturday, partly sunny, high 77. Currently fair skies, 87 degrees in Moscow. Thanks for tuning in to the KRFP Evening Report. Coming up next is Community Forum, which sometimes replaces sustainability segment in this time slot. Community Forum comes from community station KEXP in Seattle, and tonight's program is on the Software Freedom Law Center. At 6:30, we'll have Flashpoints, the daily investigative news magazine from Pacifica Radio. And at 7:30, we will have the next chapter of Dove Creek, a novel written by Clarkston author Paula Coomer and being read by the author on KRFP throughout the summer here at 92.5. If you want to help KRFP keep newscasts like this on the air, plus the newscasts you hear during Morning Mix, the recordings of local events and the public affairs shows, and the music and arts programming you hear every day on Radio Free Moscow, be sure to become a member of Radio Free Moscow. Memberships are $35 a year, $20 for students and low income. You can mail your memberships to Radio Free Moscow, 114 East 3rd Street, Moscow, Idaho, 83843. That's Radio Free Moscow, 114 East 3rd Street, Moscow, Idaho, 83843. Or you can go to the Radio Free Moscow website, krfp.org, or radiofreemoscow.com to find out more ways to help Radio Free Moscow. I'm Lee Robartis. Joe Campbell assisted with tonight's newscast. Have a pleasant night. And don't forget, music coming up later this evening with Catherine Bonzo with World Waves around 8:30. And the Grateful Dead show is coming on at 9:30. Stay tuned for more. KRFP Moscow.